Affectionately greet all of you to this session of the Heart of the Holy Name. I also need to apologize to those of you who were on time. Here we were struggling with some technical issues and could not bring the sound in the computer, but it seems to work now, and we can go ahead with this particular session of the Heart of the Holy Name. Now, I must admit to you that I'm extremely enthusiastic about the content of this episode, because I hope, or let me say, I feel strongly that somehow this morning in my own chanting, and then later in studying and preparing for the session, I found something that might be a key for all of you, a key that opens the door to a more enthusiastic practice. Let me start with something which I hear very often on the retreats. The participants come to me in confidence after, when there's the pause, and they say, "Maharaj, we have been trying to chant since a long time. However, it seems so very hard to make this practice an enlivened practice. To tell you quite honestly, we are struggling with taste. We know, we have heard so much of the philosophy. We have faith even that Krishna is there in the holy name, but we can't feel him. We can't experience him. And as a result, our mind drifts away, roams around aimlessly in this world while we chant, and we only experience the fruits of mechanistic chanting. So to change that, is the concern of the great acharyas and the concern of our spiritual tradition. It wants to help us to really experience Krishna's appearance in the core of our heart while we chant, so that whilst saying the mantra, we feel the direct presence of the Lord. Now, to get there is something which I would like to address, the way that brings us there. And I do sincerely hope that it will help you. So I require your entire presence. It might be that I enter some new areas that you have not yet heard about. And it would be good if you hear this, maybe listen to this again, because what we are talking is only meant to bring all of us on the path of enlivened chanting. In other words, we want not so much theory, we want a practical experience. Good. So, in Harinam Chintamani, we find Haridas Thakur addressing the problem of chanting the holy name without a taste, without a connection. He says, Namakshara Bahiraya Bhate Tabu Nama Kabu Naya. One may vibrate the sound of the holy name, but it may not actually be the holy names. What? This is no. I can chant Hare Krishna, but I may not actually chant Hare Krishna. Let's continue. The holy names and the Supreme Lord are non-different. But those who do not experience a relationship between the servant and the object of service cannot feel this. To speak it a little bit more in more simpler terms, you may chant the holy name, but as long as you are lack knowledge about the relationship which you have to Krishna, you may only, the word is here, akshara, have the letters of the holy name, but not the actual holy name inside. It's almost like you may have the medicinal capsula, but not the medicine. It's an empty capsule. And when you swallow it, there's absolutely no benefit for you. It's like I have this beautiful curcum. It purifies the blood. It's in a transparent vegan capsule. Imagine I would have a capsula without the substance of curcum, then it would not be a curcum blood purifier. That's the English word. It would be just empty. So you can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but inside it's empty. And that brings frustration. That brings disappointment with it. And ultimately, one will either give up the practice or compromise his practice severely, because he is left with an empty outer shell, and has no effect on the heart, no purification of the heart, no bhakti in the heart, no transcendental ecstasy that makes the hair stand on end, or however you want to express the effect of chanting the real name. During Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, he had a very dear servant. His name was Mukunda Das. He was a kirtan singer, you won't believe it. When he sang, thousands of people gathered. The news came, Mukunda is here, Mukunda is here. They all came from all directions because they knew when Mukunda was singing the holy name, it was the real name. Krishna was present, and everyone felt it and looked for this experience. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed with Mukunda about the chanting of the real holy name. And he said, as a blind person cannot see anything, even with the help of a lamp or a mirror, persons who do not think about their relationship with the Lord cannot see him, even if he stands before them. What this really means is they can be with the chanting, but although Krishna is right there in his holy name, they just don't see him, because what they really lack is a bhakti, that feeling of devotion for the Lord, and therefore the Lord doesn't reveal himself. And a few examples are given. There was one washerman who was there at the time of Krishna's appearance. He was living in Mathura, and Krishna and Balaram were just coming down the streets of Mathura, and they stood in front of the washerman. Now the washerman had performed austerities for many lifetimes in order to see God. And he had the great fortune that he achieved the darshan of Krishna. In other words, you could say his austerity was fruitful. Yes, he was in the direct presence of the Lord. But he did not obtain any happiness because he was devoid of bhakti. I do not show any compassion to those who are devoid of bhakti. Therefore, they are bereft of the happiness derived from my darshan. And Lord Chaitanya gave various examples. He said, Duryodhana was interacting with Krishna, but he even saw the universal form of Krishna, but he could not feel any happiness in his heart. There were others, I've written them down, the kings who had come to Rukmini's marriage ceremony, because one of them, Shishupal, was going to marry this tremendously beautiful goddess of fortune, Rukmini. Then Krishna came, and right before their eyes, he took Rukmini, invited her to come on his chariot, and drove off with her. They couldn't feel any happiness, although Krishna had just done something far out. Imagine at a marriage ceremony, the bride is coming out to meet the bridegroom, and another person comes and sweeps her away. Now, in mundane life, this should be problematic. It's described in, let me remember, yes, in Dostoevsky's book, The Idiot. There is such a scene. The bride comes out of the church. Everyone waits for the bridegroom to come and pose for a happy photo. At that moment, another comes and just takes her away. And she willingly goes. So in material life, this is a problem. But when Krishna does such a wonderful, stunning activity, you should feel bliss. but because they had no bhakti, they felt hatred. Or others, Mahaprabhu goes through a whole list of personalities who either saw Krishna directly or his avatars, like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, but they just didn't feel anything because they had no bhakti. The same thing happens when you chant the holy name, which is the Nam avatar, the direct appearance of Krishna in the form of his holy name, and there is no bhakti in your heart. At that time, there is no happiness in the chanting. And usually we drop things after some times. For some time, we may be able to chant out of a sense of duty. I was initiated in this process. I should keep my vows. But after some time, when we can't maintain the sense of duty. What is the solution? How could we make advancement in bhakti? First of all, I want to say bhakti is not something that lies in the human psychology. Real, vibrating, ecstatic bhakti is always something spiritual, a manifestation of what is called the Chladini Shakti, the one energy of the Lord. So when you chant, you have to ask for it. You have to chant in a prayerful way. And how to do this so that you will, you are likely to obtain bhakti, likely, I would like to prepare you in this session. First of all, the question is, how do we practice bhakti while we chant the holy name? First of all, you must know that the Maha Mantra is a prayer. Why can we say this? Because it is in the vocative form. It means it's an address. Hey Krishna! It's different than other mantras, which are often in the dative form. It is a direct address. Now, when you address someone, that someone will respond to you and will ask you, yes, what is it that you want? Imagine you go on the street and you say to someone, hey Martin, or hey Zabina. The person will stop, turn around and says, yes, what is it that you want? So the chanting is, since it is an address form, it also is supposed to reach the addressee, the person who is addressed. And he will ask, Krishna will ask, what do you want? And the immediate answer that is the heart of the holy name is, please, could you accept me again? Please engage me in your service. My dear listeners, don't please forget, chanting is not just an impersonal concentration practice. Chanting is not just, let us say, like any normal yoga process where you are pretty much for yourself. Chanting means you address God and there is something as a response for him, from him. And only when that response is there, when you are heard, will you enter into the circle of a divine relationship where your chanting is a really ecstatic. Now, the general rule for any prayer, and you can go through the spiritual or the wisdom traditions of this world is. When you pray, you should come from the mind into your heart. It's really, you leave the concepts, you leave the ideas behind, and you enter a total different realm, the realm of the heart. By the way, when you pay your obeisances and you bring your head onto the ground, automatically your heart rises over your head. That's the idea of the obeisances. Let us enter into the realm of the spiritual heart. Let us change the dimension. Get out of your mind and into your heart. Yes, yes, yes. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, presenting this point, gave really only two instructions to perfect the chanting. He said, first place the vibration of the holy name into your heart. It means focus on your heart while you chant. And the second is bring your mind away from its aimless roaming, from its roaming in the material subject matters, whenever you can catch it. I think I have said in previous episodes that when you catch yourself being distracted, that's really good. Most of the time we are distracted from the transcendental subject matter. We are distracted from our very self and we are leaning out there into the world. But when you catch yourself while chanting, that's very good. Congratulations. May we offer a garland to you. Because now you have recognized my mind is wandering. Now you can bring it back. So two instructions. While you chant, bring your mind into your heart. And as you see, as you will, that your mind starts roaming around, Swami Hariharanaya, Hariharananda, Swami Hariharananda, he is a very, very interesting yogi, says, bring your mind either back to the sound vibration or bring it to your Ishta Devata, the personality whose name you are chanting. No? And then the chanting can happen. I would like to give you an example of the great Bhakta Prahlad Maharaj. Before he started to say his very famous stutis or hymns, it is described what he did. I will say it in Sanskrit. Ashtoshit dharme kakra manasa susamahita prema gadgadaya vacha tanyasta hridayakshana. Prahlad began his prayer to Lord Hari with focused mind and full attention. Ekagra manasa susamahita. Focused mind, ekagra manasa means one-pointed mind, let's put on one point, and susamahita means full attention. What else did he do? He fixed his heart and sight on Lord Nrisimhadev. You know, he looked at the Lord and he connected with the Lord into a heartfelt relationship. And finally, prema gat gadaya vacha, he began to pray with love and in a faltering voice. Three steps: full attention and concentrated mind, heart and sight fixed on the Lord, and with love and a faltering voice. Now I know the third practice cannot be done. How can you force yourself to love or bring yourself to love and speak with a voice which sounds very moved. But what you can do is you can have full intention and a concentrated mind, and you can chant, for instance, before an altar. Or then what I do when I travel, I'm usually a book lover, so what I do is I take a book and look at the cover, like I would take this here, and focus my mind and my attention and also my heart on the person whose name I chant. Isn't that the first most logical thing, that if I chant a name, I'm mindful of the person whose name I chant? I mean, I think someone who chants without being mindful of Krishna has called attention deficit order. It is something which needs to be addressed. If I meet on the street someone and say, "Hey, Martin, I'm going somewhere else," will I expect a reaction of the person when I'm chanting so absent-mindedly? But if I say, "Hey, Martin," oops, the Martin turns around and says, "Yes, yes, 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 what? Oh, so nice to see you. Acha, good, I didn't expect you here, but nice that you're here. Let's talk." You know, so in chanting, we need to enter the personal dimension. Remember, a little while ago, I think 3 days ago, I met someone who said to me, "My greatest discovery when I came to bhakti was that the absolute truth is not an it or a something, but a he and a she. Personalities." I'm sorry, I'm getting so inspired that I'm... So, before we do our practice, I want to tell you how you can enter into a relationship that will bring Krishna to respond to you when you're chanting. The most realistic, the most honest relationship which a person can have when he starts out cold in his chanting, when he's, in other words, not yet moved, not yet in bhakti, is to long for this, to sincerely want it. And Sanatana Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita gives us a type of example that shows us how we can enter this mood of longing. It comes in the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the third chapter, text 167. And I will chant it for you in Sanskrit because it's just so nice and carries a little. Nam nam tu sankitan nam Atibaram megang vina pravrishi chatakanam ratro viyogat svapatera tangi vargasya chakro shanavat prati. The singing of the Lord's names comes when one sings in a mood of separation. This chanting is like the crying of the Chataka bird on a cloudless day of the rainy season or the lamenting of a flock of Chakravaki birds when parted from their husbands at night. These are two examples. The first example, which gives us one mood of chanting with a desire for a relationship. The first example is that of a Chataka bird. These are little birds. They look small, like sparrows. And they somehow, don't ask me how it comes into the biology, do not drink water which is from the ground. So no puddles, no lakes, no water from the ground. They fly into the rain cloud, the monsoon cloud, and drink right in the cloud. And they don't mind that it makes sometimes this heavy thundering sound. No, they are fine. They drink their water and they feel happy. Now imagine it was a dry season and finally there is a rain cloud on the sky. The little Chataka bird who needs water to survive will just be very eager to fly up into the cloud and start to drink. So in the same way, a devotee in this world will understand, I need the Ganasyam. Ganasyam means Krishna who is colored like a monsoon cloud. I need him for my spiritual survival. My heart is so empty when there is no Krishna inside. I feel so distressed. So nothing can give me pleasure on the ground here. I need to fly. This is the first example. So it's a type of example which expresses, you could say, a self-oriented need. Yeah? I don't want to use the word selfish here, but it's oriented towards the self. The second example enters more the realm of love. It's the example of the Chakravaki birds who somehow in the night lose their partners. The husband goes in one direction and the wife goes in another direction. They try to find themselves for romantic affairs, but there cannot be any romance between them because they never find themselves. There is a reason. There's a genetic reason, but it takes too much time to explain it. They somehow want so much to be together, but they can't be together. There's a deep romantic longing for love, because when they are together, they would give pleasure to each other. They would serve each other in many ways. So that's the second way how a devotee longs for Krishna. He wants to serve him. He wants to be together. These are beautiful examples, but the point here is you need bhakti to relish the holy name, and in order to get bhakti into your heart, you need to chant in a mood full of longing. When you can't do this, then lament that you can't chant with longing. Start somewhere in your relationship with Krishna by longing for him, and he will come and help you. This is very, very important. The God whom we worship is a reciprocal God. In other words, he reciprocates or answers or responds to the mood which you put into your chanting. I think this is such an important point, my dear listeners, that we cannot really stress it enough. Too much of our chanting goes on in isolation. We sit down, we take out our beads, and we start to somehow pronounce the names in the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And we don't feel anything. It's an empty kukuma capsula. There is no purification happening in the heart. There's nothing happening. You only chant the letters of the name. However, you can chant with a longing for the Lord, as we hear from this beautiful verse in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and then the real sankirtan will, the real kirtan or the real japa will emerge, which is prema sankirtan or prema filled japa. I'm a little hesitant because these terms defined in strict philosophical parlance may mean something else. What I mean here, it's feeling japa, feeling kirtan, or if you don't like the word feeling, experiential japa and experienced kirtan. It's something which brings you out of your mind and into another dimension, the dimension of devotional feelings. Once Krishna, and I will end here, addressed his dearest devotees, he said, in general, when you do the practices of bhakti to me, it qualifies any living being for an eternal life. However, you, my dear gopis, he spoke to the gopis, are different than these general practitioners. By your good fortune, you have developed a special loving attitude towards me, by which you have obtained me. Apana. Apana means to attain something, to make it your own. So this is the power of bhakti, which you put into the chanting. Krishna becomes your own. And he declares this in various passages of the Shastras. He says, my dear Arjuna, I will tell you now something which is on my mind and in my heart. This is something you please need to know. I don't find the quote. I mean, I remember the quotation, but I would have loved to read it to you from the original text. If someone chants my name and he shows signs of bhakti, like dancing or singing, sometimes crying for me, I truly tell you, I become purchased. Purchased means apana. I become obtained by that person, and I will be never separate from him. You may say, this is a long, long winding road before I get there. But as we will now do an exercise, I hope to show you that it is not so difficult to enter at least the first 20 kilometers of that road, or the first stretch in that road. Oh, I was a little bit longer. Usually I'm only half an hour along, but I needed to say this. Let us now make a meditation out of this. I will just turn to my talented harmonium player, Gokrishna. So you, I will give you a sign when we will sing. Yeah, we will first do japa, and then we will sing. So everyone, get ready for your meditation. See this, okay? Yes. Now, We are here ready. We are at the moment in the Dharma Castle, and we are totally inspired to go now into this meditation. There are a few wonderful people with me, but they are all behind the camera. Maybe I should ask them in the end to come before, but maybe not. Let us first start with a little bit. It's called a Deha Dharana. Please sit straight, relaxed, but spine should be straight. When you are ready, please close the eyes. Bring your awareness to the feet. Maybe you want to wiggle your toes. And move your awareness up to the knees and then the hip. And relax. Bring your awareness to the end of your spine. Move up. Feel the back and relax. Bring your awareness to your chest and your abdomen. Relax as well. Bring your awareness to both shoulders. And down to your elbows. And relax. You will feel how your shoulders lower themselves. Think you can relax the shoulders a little bit more. Good, good. And then bring your attention to your underarms and to your palms. And relax. Front of your neck with the throat. Relax. Back of your neck and back of your head. Relax. And now move to the front part of your face. The face which you show to the world. The face with which you might identify. And relax. Try to see if you can relax the muscles under the skin. Good. Relax the eyeballs. And turn your attention now to your in and outgoing breath. Breathe in and out through your nose. Breathe high into the nasal cavities. Very gentle breath, almost as if you would like to smell a fragrance in the distance of the room. in and out through your nose in gentle, long breaths. By your very nature, you're part of Krishna. And through your chanting, you wish to enter again into this reality. We will read now a beautiful poem that talks about the chanting which is done with a deep sense of longing for that relationship. And then we will chant in that mood. What is happening to me as I repeatedly chant the holy names? I have come to understand that I am Krishna's eternal servant. I have realized that due to my separation from Govinda, I have been entangled in the network of Maya in this material world. I've seen that because of my separation from Govinda, I'm suffering material miseries in various ways. This worldly life no longer brings me any pleasure. The only thing I want to know is what I must do in order to see you, Krishna. Looking in every direction, I see the world is completely empty. And this has made me indifferent to life. What should I do? What on earth should I do? I want you so much. We will chant in this mood now. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Are we doing this? Full attention and the concentrated mind, then fix your heart or inner sight also on the Lord, no? And then chant with some longing. You are there, I am here, and there are light years in between. Please accept me. Please let us all sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everybody please, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. After such an exercise, it is always good to listen a little bit inside and see what is going on for us. This session is important. When you do things in a certain way over and over again, and very difficult to break habit forms. It's almost like you create a certain internal wiring that forces you to go back again and again and again to the same way in which you do things. Now, because some of you, if not most of you on this call, are already chanting for a long time, it may require a little discipline to break the old habit, to cut the wires that are not helpful for our spiritual advancement. And here the whole idea is chant with Sambandha in a relationship of bhakti, like Prahlad Maharaj did when he fixed his mind and also his sight and his heart on the Lord. And then he could see how bhakti or love welled up in him, and he chanted not in an ordinary way, but in a way where he was choked with spiritual emotions of love and so on. Now, to come to this, the easiest way for a conditioned soul is to want to come to it so much. Like in the old proverb, the student asked his master, "Master, how do I become a butterfly?" And the master says, "You have to want to fly so much that you give up being a caterpillar." So it's a poetic way of saying the longing or the desire, the strong desire to connect with Krishna in this case and to chant with bhakti. That's really the beginning. And then in this ancient school, add a little Shravana to this. Hear about Krishna, how he is, how he has so many wonderful qualities like mercy and kindness. And then you can enter a relationship. The relationship is not with the practice. The relationship in japa and chanting is with the person. Let me show you something in the end. Those who chant on beads. You will give up these beads when your time comes and you leave the body. Have the question then is, have you developed taste? Because the taste in the holy name will go with you. You may have many books on bhakti, but these books you will lose also at the time of death. What you will not lose is the insights, the realizations that are with you. You may have a high position in this life. You will not be able to take the position with you. What you will take with you is the opportunity of service, of having tried to uplift others. These are all immaterial things. The taste in chanting is different from the beads. The insight of null, the realization is different from books. Service is different from a position, but it's these fine, let us call them even invisible things that matter. So if you want your spiritual practice to be full of taste, you have to see how to develop your relationship and to Krishna. And this hearing about Krishna more and more will help you to enter with a sense of relationship. I will come to the end here. I want to now make a few announcements in parting. This program, Heart of the Holy Name, is always there at the last Saturday of the month. So whenever the last Saturday of next month is, you can join us again if you wish at 3 o'clock. And each Tuesday at 8 o'clock, we have a program called Compassion Tuesday, also with a meditation. It's a very nice meditation where people come together and send good wishes to people and try to help in their way to create a more compassionate world is a big word, but more compassion in their lives. There are other programs, but at the moment I have I don't have them here. You will find the information what else is going on the Facebook. There's a lot of going on. I wish you all the best. It was a wonderful experience to feel you at the other side of the photographic lens. All the best and see you very soon again. Hare Krishna.